Hello, everyone, and this is Eddie Aparicio. I'm joined by my co-host, Anthony Tuong Corral, and this is Buzzer Beaters, a podcast that is dedicated to basketball with an emphasis on the NBA. Buzzer Beaters is a property of GremlinsMedia.com. You can find Buzzer Beaters at GremlinsMedia.com, Rumble, YouTube, under the profile Gremlins Media, as well as your traditional podcast outlets such as Spotify, Google, Apple, and Pandora. You can also find us on Facebook and X, formerly known as Twitter. If this is your first time watching the show, the format of this show is that both Tuan and I will pick topics, and then we'll play host to each other's topics with the intent of the show lasting about an hour. Sometimes we've been going a lot over lately.
we very rarely
have gone under. But yeah, we want to go ahead and maximize the amount of good content to bring to you, our audience. So for this week, we're only going to have two topics. If you joined the last episode, this is episode 11, episode 10. We had the same exact two topics. We're going to talk about the NBA Finals. And then we're also going to talk about a draft preview. Each week, we're going to cover eight teams. So four teams each, two from the East, two from the West for both of us. So that's going to be eight teams. We did eight teams last week, and then we're going to do eight teams this week. The following week, we'll do eight teams. And then the very last week, right before the draft, we're going to have six. So we're going to have a live draft show actually on the 26th Wednesday of June and the 27th on Thursday of June. So please tune in to watch that show. So as far as the draft preview part, Tuan is going to cover the Clippers, the Lakers, the Bulls, the Raptors. I'm going to cover the Rockets, the Spurs, the Hawks, and the Hornets. All right, so without further delay, let's go ahead and jump right into it. So we're going to talk about the NBA Finals. So last week when we had our show, the NBA Finals were just about to start. They had not started. And two games in, it looks like the Boston Celtics look like the team that we all thought they were going to be. Dallas Mavericks, you know, they actually had, I think, a harder path because the West is a beast to get through, right? Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of talk that because the Mavericks were somewhat more battle tested, if you will, because they, you know, they went through against, you know, Oklahoma City Thunder. You know, they went through, you know, the Timberwolves. You know, so they just look like a team that was just ready to just take on anybody, right? And then, meanwhile, you have the Celtics, who kind of steamrolled through the Eastern Conference because, let's face it, there's not many teams that really can compete with the Celtics, although Indiana gave them a good series. The only thing is that Indiana got swept, but each game was close, right? But here we are, game one, the Celtics pretty much took it to the Mavericks. Game two, it was a little bit closer for a little bit, but then, you know, the Celtics pretty much pulled away again. The main difference is that, as I pointed out in the last week's episode, the Celtics are probably the most versatile team in the league. It's the reason why they are so freaking good. They have numerous guys that they can throw as defenders to both Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. And you can already see that it's caused the problem for Kyrie Irving. I mean, Kyrie Irving is shooting 13 of 37 in the series, man. He's 0 for 8 from three-point land, right? And we all thought, okay, if you stop Luka, you know,
Kyrie, you're
going to win. And they shut down Kyrie. It might be that Kyrie might be pressing a little bit too, because this is a team that he played for, and he's going to want to show them, right, that he, you know, they should have kept him. But, you know, Luka Doncic, he's been playing fabulously, man. He's been playing lights out. You know, some of the shots that guy's making, you know, when he has it, like, I mean, he's getting Derek White on him, Drew Holiday. He's getting, you know, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. I mean, he's getting a lot of different looks, man. And he is still taking it to him, man. The only thing is that there's nobody else from the Mavericks that have really come, you know, to show up to help this guy out. So they look like a one-dimensional team right now, unfortunately. And then, you know, you brought up Derek Lively as the X-factor. He's played well, but he's not dominant yet, right? And then, you know, Gafford is the other guy that, I mean, we thought the bigs were going to be the big difference maker in the series for the Mavericks, right? But it hasn't played out yet that way. But I just wanted to kind of give you my thoughts on what I've seen to this point. But definitely Kristaps Porzingis has definitely been the next factor, right? But the thing is, he's injured. We don't know if he's going to come back. He's special for game three. What are your thoughts, Twan?
So a couple of things. You know, you brought up Indiana. So this is, I mean, Dallas's defense has stepped up significantly throughout the playoffs. But this is kind of your classic great offense versus great defense type of scenario. And Indiana is an offensively heavy team. And so I think it sort of allowed Boston to kind of get acclimated to that, you know, style. And so they were kind of ready to a certain degree for Dallas's kind of run and gun and aggressive pace. And right. so one thing that I will give kudos to is Tatum. He seems to be very not focused necessarily on his offense. He's focused on a lot of aspects of his game.
Right.
His defensive intensity has been really good. He's been rebounding. His assist numbers are very good in this series so far. One thing to look out for, though, is the guys that we named, you know, Washington, Lively, Gafford, they're all kind of what they call the others, right? They're not the stars. Yep. They're the others. And so the others typically play better when you go home. So I expect that the series could get tied up 2-2 when they go back to Dallas. I think that those guys will kind of wake up a little bit and get a little more aggressive. But we'll see. You know, I'm kind of anticipating that. But right now, like I said, Tatum is really the one that's impressed me because he's kind of become more balanced. He's kind of done what the team needs as opposed to trying to force his offense or being kind of the star of the game.
Right. But the thing is, though, Twan, is that, you know, we know that Kristaps Porzingis sustained an injury.
Yeah.
And we know he's questionable. And that guy, he was a big-time difference maker in the first game.
He was.
I mean, he was also, you know, a pest to deal with in the second game as well. You know, they essentially took away Kyrie Irving's, you know, drive to the basket kind of thing with Kristaps Porzingis because that guy's just blocking shots left and right, right? But, you know, he has this injury, which is kind of a rare injury. I mean, I'm going to see if I can, you know, pronounce this thing, but he has a torn medial retinaculum, whatever that is. But it's
whatever that is. Yeah,
when I looked it up, it's the sheath that is protecting the tendons from the ankle and the foot, so it's torn. Now it's pretty much pain management at this point. I think that, you know, the doctors are going to assess if it can create any more additional damage, because the one thing that can happen is that the tendon can completely just separate from the foot. That's an issue, right? So he's day to day right now, you know, for the rest of the series. They want to be smart about him because they don't want to mess up his career either. But I think they're just trying to assess, you know, whether or not this is going to have long-term issues if he does try to play. You know, in reading up about this a little bit, it's a really rare thing. I think, you know, one of the sports doctors had said he's only seen it from one other person in his 20-year career. So this is a very rare thing. So, you know, this is kind of uncharted waters a little bit, you know, in the NBA trying to manage this type of injury. But if Kristaps Porzingis plays, you know, and he's able to play like he did in first two games,
it's over.
It's over, man. It's over because you can see how versatile this team is, man. I mean, just to show you, Jason Tatum hasn't done jack, really. You know, you pointed out all the other things that he's doing.
Yeah, but then Kendrick Swan, yeah.
If he's scoring, it would be ugly, man. Honestly,
and you know he's bound to hit his averages here at one point, and he hasn't done so for the most part yet. So,
for whatever reason, he puckers up. I don't know what it is, man, because he did this in the last finals as well, right? And this is kind of like right now, it's a glaring thing about him. It's like, you know, when the stage is bright, he tends to cower a little bit, and then you saw what Jason Kidd did, right? Jason Kidd was trying to play some mind games, man. It was freaking classic. You know how he's calling, like, Jaylen Brown, like, the best player on the Celtics?
Yep.
You know, that was intentional, man.
He's trying to rub him the wrong way.
Yeah, this is a total, like, training day moment. Remember training day, Alonzo, when he was like, this shit is chess. It ain't checkers. Dude.
Yes.
Jason Kidd was playing chess. He was playing chess. That, man, because he knew that he would press. That would press Jason Tatum to show up even harder. And it's, I think, kind of worked. But the unfortunate thing is all the other guys, you know, I think, you know, on the Celtics had played pretty much their level except for Jason Tatum, with the exception of Kristaps Porzingis, who hadn't played the entire, you know, playoffs until now, you know, and they couldn't count for him because he's a difference maker, man. Yeah. Now we're going to see what happens, you know, in game three or, you know, tomorrow. We're doing this Tuesday. So
which, by the way, Eddie, can we have more days separating these games? Holy mackerel.
I know, man.
Yeah,
I know.
It's like a week in between each game. It's going to be August by the time we're done with this series.
It's the hype train, man. They need to get all of the content, all these media folks to start talking about the game, breaking it down, analyzing. Hey, if for anything, it gives us time to figure things out,
that's
too.
That's true.
So, but anyway, so I see this going no more than five. That's my call, man.
You think they split at home?
I think the Mavericks are probably going to win game three. I think Porzingis is probably not going to play. They're going to probably err on the side of caution. And then game four, I think the Celtics win, and then show's over after that next game. Okay. That's my call. What do you see, man?
Well, like I said, I think that Dallas is going to win these two home games, and I think that it's going to be interesting how they handle Porzingis. You know, I'm kind of leaning towards. I don't think he's going to play again.
No, I don't think so either.
And so the strategy is going to be now whether they turn Horford into the Rudy Gobert role, right? Rotating till Luka's on Horford, and then he can work him a little bit from the 3-point in. You know, so it's curious to see if that strategy works. I mean, Horford's a much, much more mobile. He's better as a wing defender than Gobert is. But that more or less, if that's the way it goes, that could be in the balance as to who wins these next two games. If Horford does a good job on Luka, because they're going to figure out how to get to him. Like, you know, to either Kyrie Irving or to Luka. And if Horford can handle that, I think that, you know, Celtics could, like you said, split one, get one of the two at home, and then come back and end it.
Yeah, the thing is that Horford has had some challenges in the pick and roll. He's an older guy, man. He's, what, 37?
Yeah, no, I know.
38? I don't, you know. But the dude is still hella good. I mean, he's still a really good player.
He is.
I forgot how good that guy really was, man. You know, but even as in advanced years, he's been playing very well, and he blocks shots still at, you know, like he's like at a young age, man. The only thing he's not laterally as quick as he used to be.
Correct.
Right? So they're probably going to have to bring in like a Luke Kornet, you know, someone who has more length.
Maybe you're right. Yeah. They'll probably have to play a more defensive minded, more mobile, kind of last minute kind of team, last minute five, you know, to be able to counter what Dallas is going to try to do. But like you've been saying, up to this point with Porzingis in there, they've shut it all down. Especially with Kyrie. I mean, Luka's been playing about as good as you can expect given the amount of defense and things that he's going up against. I mean, the first game, what did he have? Like, I think he had one assist.
Yeah, one assist.
Crazy. Yeah, that's which crazy. Is crazy for Luka. And I think Kyrie had like maybe two assists. I was counting assists. I was looking at the box where I think the whole team had like six assists.
That's crazy, in that game. Man.
Yeah,
man,
I'm like, dude, you're not going to win if all you have is six assists.
Dude, that is playing right into the Celtics, you know, strength. I mean, their strength is defense. And if you're not able to rotate the ball and find the open man, you know, a la like the Warriors have done for years, you know, it's going to be a long night, man. And the thing is that what it shows you is that those guys were total ISO ball. That's what they were doing, man. They were trying to find the right matchup from the pick and roll and take advantage of it and score. And Luka Doncic, there's nobody going to stop him, man. Nobody has showed to stop him. I mean, they can only give him so many looks to get him frustrated and make him more inefficient. But unfortunately, he's not inefficient. He's very efficient. The one guy they made inefficient is Kyrie Irving, which, you know, if they take one of those two guys away, their chances increase enormously.
Well, they really took everyone away with the acceptance of Luka. Because, I mean, everyone's really numbers are down overall. So it isn't even just Kyrie. The whole, like, everyone. So Kyrie, it's like, you know, it's that old adage, you know, Luka's going to get his, but then we're stopping everyone else. So, Luka, you're going to have to beat us 1-on-5, you know, kind of. Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. All right, man. So you're saying they're going to win the next two games?
Yeah, I think the quote-unquote others are going to wake up.
They do,
you know, Washington, Gapper, Lively. I think they're all going to wake up and they're gonna have a series. You know, I like you said, I think tomorrow's game Dallas should win. Like if this is good, if they lose tomorrow, it's over. Like it's over. So tomorrow's a really critical game for them.
Right. Yep. We shall see, man. So all right, man. We'll go ahead and finish off this segment on the final.
Oh, one thing I did want to touch on. You were talking earlier. It's a little kind of unrelated, but I just for those of you that are watching this or will be watching this, as Eddie mentioned, we're going live for the draft. Keep in mind that this is the first year that we have 2 days of draft coverage, right? The first round on the 26th, second round on the 27th, which will be kind of fun. Typically, we got both rounds all in one night, and so that this will be interesting. It'll be kind of a net new thing for the NBA and trying to NFL it, you know, like the NFL does. More days, milking for multiple days,
More advertising dollars, bro. That's what it is, man. So.
Exactly.
All right, man. So let's go on to the next segment. So the draft preview. So as I mentioned earlier, we had started the process last week where we covered eight teams, and we're going to cover another eight teams this week. Two teams from the East for both of us, and then two teams from the West for both of us. So we're going to cover a total of eight teams for the segment. If you had not listened in to the last show, we're going to talk about the teams, the franchises, how they did this year, what are their roster needs, what are some potential trade targets that they might want to consider, you know, based on the draft picks that they have, who's falling to them. And then the fun part of this is that we wanted to go ahead and look back at all of the history of the draft picks for each of these franchises and target, or at least in our opinion, give you why we think the people that we're picking were the best draft picks they've ever made. And then we're also going to focus on the worst ones. So that's the format for this next segment. So, Tuan, I know we started on the West last time.
Yeah.
I think we could probably just do that again. So, okay. I think you have the Clippers and then the Lakers. So, who do you want to start with?
Let's work our way from the bottom up. So, I'll start with the Clippers.
Okay.
The Clippers. How's that? By the way, this has been a lot of fun doing this research.
Oh, yeah.
Looking at everything, you know, as an NBA fan, as a Warriors fan, you guys out there know that. You know, I've always kind of looked everything through the Warriors prism. And, you know, you always cry about who we could have had or our draft pick busts. But, you know, as I'm doing this with more and more teams, I'm realizing there's a lot of hurt everywhere. You know, even some of the great franchises have had some big whiffs. And, you know, as far as for me, what I like to do is play the coulda, woulda, shoulda game. I always think that's fun. And when I go through the worst draft picks, I pick, you know, who you could have had instead of this particular person, you know, and how that might have changed your franchise around. Yep. But anyway, all right, so the format that I'm going to follow today is I'm going to start with the picks that the Clippers have, identify a couple of the players that, you know, could potentially be drafted in that spot. And then I'll go down to the draft picks, best two, worst two. Then we'll talk about roster needs and how they might be able to fill that in with a trade or who they might pick up. So that's the format I'm going to follow.
Okay, you're changing the flow. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I am changing the flow a little bit because I wanted to structure it a little bit differently. But anyway.
Okay. So I changed it too, by the way.
Awesome.
Yeah,
good. All right, so awesome. So this year the Clippers have the 46th pick, which is the second round pick, which means they'll be picking on the 27th. There's a couple of guys here that I think – that they're probably looking towards. One is Justin Edwards out of Kentucky. So I'm thinking that that might be a good position. He's a small forward. He's 6'6", 209 pounds. He's a freshman, so he's done one and done. You know, he's got a little light on the offense. He's not advanced enough on the offense, which is why I think he's dropping to the second round. But, you know, the Clippers, I think, you know, the 6'6 guys, the 6'9 guys, they're really a hot commodity. If they can get these guys to shoot the three, get these guys to play some defense, that's really like the flavor of the month in the NBA right now. All these 3-and-D guys, everybody wants a 3-and-D guy. Sure. You know, I'm not saying that this guy is one of those guys, but I mean, he fits the bill at least, you know, physically, you know, and kind of weight wise. So right. I think that's one pick. The other one is Harrison Ingram from North Carolina. He's kind of a small forward, power forward guy, 6'5", 230 pounds. So he's a little smaller than Edwards, but a little bit chunkier, you know, a little heavier. And so he's kind of a two-way versatility. He's a mature player, a little more experienced. So, you know, we just need to see if whether, you know, his strengths, his offensive strength and flows are something that are going to be worthy in that second round or not. That's some of the questions that are out on him.
Yeah, there's a lot of value with that guy. I mean, there's a lot, you know, because of experience and because of his athleticism, because of, you know, his two-way capabilities, you know, there's going to be – he's great value in the second round.
He is.
Someone's going to – you know, because I have in a few of mine as well. And I think we mentioned him a few times last week you know, for other teams. So he's going to be – it's going to be interesting to see who was right, right? As who's gonna, you know, who's gonna pick up Harrison Ingram, man. So
correct, which by the way, no promises to the crowd out there, but we're gonna try to line up what we picked when the picks come out and see how close or far we were, you know, and see how that turns out. But obviously if we're picking a lot of players for several teams, we're bound to hit one of them, right? So
exactly.
All right. Moving into the top two draft picks of the Clippers history. I'm going to start with some notables in regards to the draft picks. Randy Smith, DeAndre Jordan, Danny Manning, for those that remember from Kansas, and Lamar Odom. These were guys that were kind of notables. Yeah. The two players that I picked was when the Clippers were in Buffalo, the Buffalo Braves. They picked up Bob McAdoo. He's a Hall of Famer, two-time champion. They picked him up in the 1972 draft pick as the number two pick. I mean, he was a solid player. I mean, I remember watching him when I was younger. He had the wristbands, and I remember watching him. So real good player. He's a NBA 75th anniversary team. So, good player. The other player that I got here is Blake Griffin out of Oklahoma. What's ironic is, I don't remember if we brought him up, but he was one of the players that was at least on my list for potentially overrated players.
Yeah, it was mine. It was on my overrated.
Yes, which I still think that's true, which kind of leans to you towards how rough of a kind of draft history the Clippers have had.
For sure.
Right. Because really I kind of went through it and I'm going, well, Blake Griffin was a good pick. You know, ultimately, he didn't take them to where they wanted to. I put a lot of weight on whether the team could win a championship with that player, as opposed to whether they didn't. Obviously, Blake Griffin didn't do that. I mean, he was a six-time NBA All-Star, made the NBA second team a couple of times, made the NBA third team a couple of times, his rookie, fantastic. Everyone remembers, Lob City, right, with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and him flying through the air. I think Eddie mentioned it, one of the first players to dunk over a car, so he had a lot of Vince Carter-ness to him, a lot of attraction, a lot of high flying, energy, explosive. But unlike Vince Carter, towards where his career is now, he's kind of very limited. Vince Carter actually shifted to being a better three-point shooter. He actually elongated his career while Blake Griffin looks older than he is, if you ask me. He just,
for sure.
So
wear and tear from all that freaking jumping that he did, but they both did it, but he's a heavier guy.
He's a bigger guy. I mean, he could jump.
Yeah.
All right. Any feedback on that, Eddie? Anything?
No. So you picked McAdoo and Blake Griffin as the two best.
The two best. Correct.
Okay. No arguments. I mean, they haven't really had great history as far as draft picks, already. Right. So, that's where you have to go. That's where you have to go, man. So, so now you're going to go into the worst.
The two worst.
Okay.
Cool. So the two worst, the one of the worst is the Candyman, Michael Olowokandi.
That's right.
The Candyman. University of Pacific, 1998, the number one pick. There was a quote in there as I was doing my research, which I found fascinating. So the Clippers had hired Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to be a big man coach.
Cool.
Right? And, Kareem has played with, some great coaches. To start with, John Wooden, right? One of the greatest coaches in the history of basketball. And Kareem's response to Olowokandi was, he's uncoachable.
Oh, my God.
So the guy just would not listen. He would not do... Yeah, and I found that I don't even remember ever hearing that, but for someone of Kareem's stature, and Kareem's a pretty chill dude.
It doesn't take that much to piss him off. Man.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But what I mean is he's calm, right? It's not like he's yelling at you to do things, right? So that's what I mean. His delivery is chill. No, you're right. He can be pissy.
He's salty, man. He's a salty guy.
He's salty, but he called him uncoachable, and I'm sure that didn't do well. And so, Olowokandi had an okay career, but just some of the names that from that particular draft of players you could have had instead of Olowokandi, Paul Pierce, Dirk Nowitzki, Mike Bibby, Anton Jameson, and Vince Carter, both, those guys got traded for each other, as Warriors fans know and remember. So those are some pretty, Dirk Nowitzki and Paul Pierce are Hall of Famers, so those are, and both have championships, something the Clippers don't have. So, you know, I think that you look at that and say, as a number one pick, you could have had some of these other guys. Man. I mean, that's a pretty – that kind of makes that pick look even worse.
You got to wonder, though. Here's the thing I've got to wonder. If that essentially crippled that guy's ego or his confidence to get that kind of a feedback from probably – I mean, he's considered the best center of all time. He's easily in the top two or three, right? Easily, right?
Yep.
And to get that kind of feedback from a Hall of Fame guy at the position that you play, I'm sure that doesn't do very well for your freaking ego at all, man.
No, it doesn't matter
your confidence. And that's probably what may have happened with this kid, man. You never know.
You know, you're right. But I mean, you know, when you get feedback like that, whenever you know I get feedback like that, I always think you have two options here. You can listen and figure out, you know, why and get better at it, or you can just shut down, you know, and just screw you and you guys are all wrong. Yep. Well, if he took the latter, we saw that at least Kareem was right because he never amounted to much.
Yep.
But, you know, it depends on how you take it. I think that, you know, one should take the criticism with some constructiveness, you know, and try to get a little bit better. But
for sure.
But Michael Olowokandi did not. All right. The next pick, a guy that I don't even remember. I mean, I literally don't remember. And he's 2005, number 12 pick, Yaroslav Korolev.
Whoa.
Exactly. That? Okay, exactly. Now get this. Get these stats, Eddie.
Okay.
He played 148 minutes total with the Clippers over 2 years.
Oh my God.
Number 12 pick. And then pretty much washed out of the league after that.
Oh my God. Right? Man.
So exactly. He was a European player, and he was kind of one of these guys that, you know, was a little young. And it was kind of a lesson learned, like be careful when you bring young guys over when they're not ready. And he was just one of those guys that was not ready for the physicality, the speed, the size of the NBA. I was kind of going through the drafts, you know, because I go through the draft and I personally look and see who they could have had and players that I remember. This wasn't a great draft per se, but some players that they could have had instead of that individual is Danny Granger, for those that remember from Indiana. Yeah. He was a pretty decent player. Jarrett Jack was a pretty good player. David Lee, you know, who was a New York Knick and a Golden State Warrior. Lou Williams, who had a pretty long career. Sweet Lou, yep. And then for those of us that remember the Mississippi Missile, Monte Ellis, right? Yes. So that was a player. That he was a low draft pick. And so that was something that they could have had. Those were the coulda, woulda, shouldas of that particular draft.
Man. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't even remember this. I'm like,
I've never heard of this guy. That's a good trivia question, man, to ask the Clipper fans. They may not even know.
It depends on the Clipper fan, but I would hope they know because that one hurts.
Billy Crystal would know. I guarantee it.
Yeah, Billy Crystal would know. Just like we know, you know, who Todd Fuller is and
that's true.
And Troy Murphy and Montego Cummings. I mean, other people may not remember, but we knew. All right. So in terms of the roster needs for the Clippers, they need some bench depth. They need to get better and younger. This is all assuming now there's a couple, you know, Paul George is a free agent. I believe James Harden might be one as well. I don't remember if he has an option or not, but I'm assuming that they're going to keep those two guys. If they do, then they need better depth. You know, that was something that was, you know, as soon as those guys got off the court, like the Clippers were lost. So they need some there. And they also need to improve their defense. I mean, you know, obviously a team with Harden and defense is not going to be a priority, at least at that position. But they need players that can.
Right. But they have two beasts in George and Kawhi Leonard, man.
Correct. But Kawhi, when he's available. Type of deal. So a couple of guys that I had as trade targets were Alex Caruso, who we know, 6'5" guard out of Chicago.
He'd be really good for that team. He'd be good for a lot of guys, man.
Yeah, well, of course. Yeah, excellent defender. You know, he has enough skill set where he can play for limited minutes without a star and run the offense. You know, like be the star player for little minutes at a time. So I think he would be good, especially with some of these older players if they're going to be taking a rest. So you know, so that was one, and the other one was Nick Richards, which is a 7-foot center out of Charlotte. He's a defensive minded player. He's actually been improving kind of year on year. You know, and so he's 26 years old, really good, like I said, a rim protector, and is very efficient with the numbers. So those are two players that I thought that were, you know, yep. within reason of trade targets that the Clippers could pick up.
And, you know, and the Nick Richards pick is interesting because, you know, they have two centers that are very similar to each other. They have Mark mm-hmm. Williams and Nick mm-hmm. Richards. You know, Mark mm-hmm. Williams got hurt a lot last year. And by the way, Charlotte is who I'm going to cover, so that's why I know this yep. stuff. But, yep. but Mark Williams, you know, is a really good versatile big. Nick Richards is not as versatile as Mark Williams, but they're both kind of, they just play similar. Big, right? They're just, yeah. they're not these, you know, these versatile athletic bigs that can shoot. They're not that type, right? They're just like, they're more of the traditional type of center, for the most part, right? So yeah, that's a good, interesting little pick that, you know, one of those two guys, I think would be a good pick for either one for the Clippers.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Cool.
All right. Are you taking the next one?
No, you're doing the first two, and then I'm doing the next two. We're doing the Lakers.
So now the Lakers.
Lakers, all right.
All right. So the Lakers have a couple of picks. The first pick is pick number 17 in the first round. One player that we're looking at is Khalil Ware from Indiana, center, big guy, 230 pounds, sophomore. You know, kind of people say he has a resemblance to Brook Lopez, which is – not a bad person to be compared to. The other one is Carlton Carrington. He's from Pittsburgh. He's a point guard, shooting guard, 6'4 guy, 195. He's a freshman, 18 years old. You know, very high skill level for a center who's above average. Sorry, for a point guard. So, I don't know. I got some misinformation here that I'm.
Yeah. No worries, man.
But yeah, so those are the two guys that I had. For the second round pick, there was really only one person that everyone thinks the Lakers are going to take at pick 55, and that was Bronny James.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know if this is a need pick more than a
– Just keep
you know,
the
– I think that if Bronny's there at the 55th pick, they're going to take him. I mean, I just feel like – that's what's going to happen. Although, you know, the Lakers, yeah. interestingly enough, Hurley.
Yeah, Dean Hurley.
Over at UConn. Turned down a pretty generous offer to go there, which is kind of making the Lakers look a little yeah. egg on their face, you know? Yeah. Now they're kind of re-talking to J.J. Redick, which has been a little bit of comical because, you know, the word on the street is that's – kind of LeBron's handpicked person to coach the Warriors.
Yeah, they're buddies, man.
The Lakers. So we'll see how that goes. So I put that pick in there only because I think that's what they're going to do. I don't think that they're, you know, if Bronny James is not there, then they may go a different direction. But I honestly, I'd be a little surprised if anyone picked them before the 55th pick.
That's a good thought, man. I think that's possible, man. Especially because, you know, it would make their superstar player happy, who probably retire as a freaking Laker, and he's still playing at an unbelievable level at his age. He's incredible. LeBron James.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, at this point, you have LeBron James. He is playing very well. I'm presuming that if you sign whatever contract you sign Bronny James to is probably something similar that LeBron will sign as well. So you may be able to get him for more than a one-on-one contract like he's been doing for the last, you know, right. 6-7 years or whatever it's been. But yeah. All right. Going down to the history rich drafts of the Lakers. So I'm starting with my top two draft picks in history. So some notable picks here, which are some impressive notable picks. Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, James Worthy.
It's a who's who of the Hall of Fame, man, right
there.
Yes,
it's a who's who of – but ultimately the two guys that I picked, you know, which I think most Laker fans are going to agree with, is because of the amount of championships that each of these individuals brought to the organization. So Kobe's one, five-time NBA champion. Everyone knows who Kobe is. You know, he's Laker royalty. The interesting thing about it, though, Ed, and this was kind of a little glitch in the matrix type situation. So technically speaking, Kobe was not drafted by the Lakers.
Correct. He was not.
Yeah. So I didn't know. I didn't know what to do with this. Considering
I have something like that too in one of my teams. That he wasn't drafted. They weren't drafted by that, but they, you know. Anyway, I had the same scenario, so yeah, it counts.
Yeah, but in my mind, if you never played with the team that drafted you, you're drafted by the team that you first play an NBA game with. A la Andrew Wiggins was drafted by Cleveland. Never played a single game with the Cavaliers, and so Kobe Bryant was one of the greatest players and one of their top draft picks. The other one, of course, is Magic Johnson, right? Also, five NBA championships. Yep. You know, most people credit him and Larry Bird with reviving the NBA, you know, bringing it into the modern day of basketball that we have today in terms of media, in terms of coverage. You know, I remember prior to that, you know, you'd get recordings of NBA finals. You'd see them like 11 o'clock at night after the news, you know, things like that. You wouldn't even see them live, which is crazy to think about in today's day. But back then, that's what it was. And, you know, obviously.
It just had it had very low ratings. Nobody watched the NBA.
Correct.
Until, you know, Bird and Magic came, and that's when viewership increased. And then,
well, you know, which is
Jordan, right?
Yeah, which is what I find fascinating, you know, is with – I'm sort of seeing sort of a similar trend with this Caitlin Clark and the WNBA. This is starting to gather some steam here, you know, and it's reminding me of those days when, you know, Magic Johnson first got drafted and people wanted to watch, you know, person versus one person, you know, kind of scenario. So interesting commentary there. But I think those two players would be number ones in probably 30 of the 30 organizations.
Absolutely. Both those guys, for sure. Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. All right. So going to the top two busts in their history, which they had some. One was Javaris Crittenden.
Oh, yeah. Crittenden.
Yeah. The 2007 draft. It was the 19th pick. He only played 22 games with the team as a rookie. His claim to fame is that he was part of the Pau Gasol trade, right? So Marc Gasol and him traded to Memphis for Pau Gasol, right? If you remember that draft. So that's kind of his claim to fame. He's also serving time. He was found guilty of manslaughter and aggravated assault, sentenced to 23 years in prison. So he's, you know, I believe that's still in that window. So he's still in prison. And in terms of the draft pick, there wasn't much there. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. The only guy that I saw that was worth even mentioning was Carl Landry, who was a pretty
okay player.
Yeah, he played with the Warriors a little bit.
And, he did.
He was around.
Yeah. Rocket, played for the Rockets.
Yeah, he had that Karl Malone body. You know, he's a big kind of Corey Maggette kind of well-built guy. So that was – it was really – I mean, I guess if you're going to have a bust there, that you didn't go too bad there because there wasn't really – there was slim pickings after that. And then the next pick is Kenny Carr in the 1977 draft. He was the sixth pick out of NC State. He played two seasons for LA, averaging a little under 7 points and four rebounds. And they traded him to the Cleveland Cavaliers in 1979. So he played, like I said, just two seasons. Didn't do. Now, this one, there's a lot of coulda, woulda, shouldas here. He could have had Bernard King, which is a fantastic player. Cedric Maxwell, who was an excellent Celtic. Jack Sigma, who played
Hall
of Fame over in Seattle. Yep. And then for those that remember Tree Rollins, who spent a lot of his time with the Hawks in Atlanta, who was a big. Yep. So those are four players that I thought, you know, would have served the Lakers well had they picked them up, you know.
Oh, man.
Yep.
And it's a rare miss. The Lakers rarely miss.
They do rarely miss.
I mean, that, to bring up that name, never heard of that guy. So
yeah, exactly. I have to go all the way back to
draft history.
I have to go back to 1977, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. There's a reason why they have so many freaking banners, man. They just pick the right players, man. They always it's a great organization. What can you say, right?
So, which is why Laker Nation is probably looking at this Boston game and hoping Dallas wakes up and doesn't give Boston yet another banner. I mean, those two organizations are like
neck and neck with titles. Exactly.
Exactly. As I mentioned earlier, a lot of these teams, and the Lakers are no exception, they need a 3-and-D guy. Right? A guy that can play defensively on the perimeter, that shoots the threes. So a couple of trade targets that I had, and I think we've mentioned them a couple of times. One is Lauri Markkanen, right? So a very good three-point shooter, 37% or a little over 37% career. So he's someone that I think they could try and pick up. And the other one was, you know, we talked, I think it was a couple of weeks ago about the backcourt at Cleveland not really gelling. So if they wanted to make a little bit of a splash, I'm going with the other guy now. Earlier I was talking about Garland. Now I'm going, you know, a potential trade there is Donovan Mitchell, right? Spider Mitchell. So that's somebody that could bring a little bit of energy you know, with the Lakers, and a guy that obviously another guy that they would have to worry about in a sort of a big three between, you know, LeBron.
That's a big three right there, man. Spider Mitchell can shoot. You know, he's a good shooter, and he can drive to the basket. You know, like LeBron, but LeBron's just the tank, right? But
yeah.
But those that's a big three. That's an interesting big three. Either one of those guys, whether it be Markkanen or Mitchell, that'd be
And I thought they would fit well because LeBron's obviously a passer first. You know, he has been his whole career, even though his scoring numbers are better now than they were in the past. And so between him and Mitchell, that'd be a pretty decent, I'll call it backcourt, even though LeBron isn't a backcourt, but he plays a lot of the backcourt. I thought that would be an interesting dynamic. And if they could pick him up, that might put the Lakers there on, you know, top five in the West, you know, in terms of what they can do.
Yeah. I mean, they're still good. I mean, I'm surprised, you know, actually before the season started, when I did the show with Guillermo del Pilar, I actually had picked the Lakers to be the second team in the conference. As a matter of fact, for this past season, I thought that team, because of the depth that they had, and they had a bunch of guys that they added to the team, I thought they were going to be, you know, super dangerous, and they were, but for whatever reason, it just didn't click. You know, they ended up being, you know, a play-in as well. No, wait, were they a play-in?
They were playing, and then they played Denver.
They were the eighth seed. Yeah, they were playing. So I thought they were going to be the number two seed. I thought that's how good that team was with all the picks that they did, and for whatever reason, they just didn't do it. But they're still dangerous. Yeah. I think they're just one player away, man. So.
No, I agree. I think, you know, if they picked up either one of those players, obviously they're back in the forefront. I mean, I don't know if, in all honesty, I don't know if they could beat the Denvers of the world. I mean, especially Denver. Denver's got the Lakers number. It's just a bad matchup. It's a bad matchup for them.
But, it's a bad matchup. Yep.
Yeah. So. But we'll see. You know, do you or I have Minnesota?
I already did Minnesota.
You did them last week. I remember now. All right. Yep. So that's my two teams in the West, Eddie.
All right, man. So it's my turn. So the first team that I'm going to cover are the Houston Rockets. Houston Rockets have two draft picks. They have one in the first round with the number three pick, and then they have one in the second round with the 44th pick. They finished 41-41 and finished 11th in the conference. They missed the play-in game, and actually the Warriors edged them out to be the 10th seed. So I'm going to go a little different than you, Tuan. I'm actually going with roster needs first and the trade targets, and then who's going to fall to them, and then do, you know, the fun stuff with the worst, the best and worst at the end. But so for as far as roster needs, this team's on the rise, man. They actually have, you know, a pretty good size, you know, with the combination of Alperen Sengun, you know, who's a pretty good center out of Turkey, and then you have Steven Adams, who was also added to the team, right? Yep. So you have two really good big guys, where one of them, you know, Steven Adams is going to be the backup to Sengun, because Sengun he's a very versatile big. He's really good, man. And then you have, you know, two good defenders, primarily in Amen Thompson. You know, he was drafted last year, part of the Thompson twins. You had, his brother, I forgot the other guy's name, but Amen Thompson is the guy that plays for the Rockets. And then you had Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks is also another defensive guy that's good. Right? But you know, we all know about Warrior fans. We don't like
Dylan. That's LeBron's best friend right there.
He's a punk, man. Anyway, I digress. But they also have good scoring. You know, so they have Jalen Green and they have Fred VanVleet. So you can see they actually have a pretty dangerous team. So because of what they have, I think they just need maybe one more shooter. And I think they need more veteran rotational players. They need more guys like a Fred VanVleet, you know, like a Steven Adams, but maybe like two guys like that have been in the league, can show these younger guys the ropes, how to win. You know, Ime Udoka is a good coach. You know, he's got these guys playing. They're a team to watch, man. They're a little bit scary, especially if they make a couple of trades that I think I'm going to point out here. So, the guys that they should target. So I have maybe seven guys, all right? So there's free agents, and then there's also trades. Okay, so the free agents, there's a Malik Beasley of the Bucks. He's a good shooter, good defender. Yep. He'd be a good pick. Sadiq Bey. Sadiq Bey of Atlanta, the Atlanta Hawks. Good shooter, good defender. he's another guy that would benefit. You know,
do you think they're picking up are you forecasting these players they pick up as starters or as bench guys?
Bench guys. These are all rotational pieces.
Yep.
Because, because the only guys that I'm gonna point out as starters are the ones in the trade section. But free agents, these free agent guys are guys that I think are good rotational pieces that kind of meet that veteran rotational player need, because I think that's what they need. So the other guy I have is Alec Burks of the Knicks. He'd be a good shooter. He's a decent defender. I know the Warriors are kind of looking at getting him too. I mean, he'd been on the Warriors before, and I know they really, really liked him, but they couldn't afford him, and I don't know if they can afford him now, but they like him. Anyway, so Alec Burks is another guy that I think is a free agent they could probably go after. And another one who's kind of sneaky, man, Robert Covington. He's a good defensive guy, man. He got injured a lot this last year, but he's in Portland. He's a good shooter, great defender, man. But he's a total 3-and-D guy in the NBA. Right?
Yep, I claimed a fame over with the Sixers, right? That's where he was playing.
Exactly. Yeah. So those are the free agent targets. As far as trade targets, we've brought this guy up multiple times. We brought both of these guys up multiple times in the last segment in episode 10. But Darius Garland, add him to this team is like, okay, man, you got Fred VanVleet and Darius Garland, and you have Jalen Green. I mean,
are you concerned with too little of backcourt with VanVleet and Garland? Kind of similar to what they're experiencing with Spider Mitchell and, you know, like a Pee Wee backcourt. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be, you know, matchup problems like that, right? I mean, but, you know, they have this guy, Amen Thompson, who's kind of versatile. He can kind of go, you know, play, you know, kind of shooting guard if he needs to. And then Fred VanVleet plays point guard, or Jalen Green plays point guard, and then Amen Thompson plays shooting guard. You can have Darius Garland go in there, you know, to give a blow to Jalen Green or Fred VanVleet, you know, and then have Amen Thompson, you know, kind of the shooting guard, right? So you can kind of do that, right? Mix and match a little bit. So Darius Garland, I think, would be a guy that they could target. But yeah, there is concern that he's probably a little bit too small. But the next guy is a guy that has been brought up multiple times, and that's DeJounte Murray of the Atlanta Hawks. You know, it's very evident that the Atlanta Hawks are going to break up Trey Young and DeJounte Murray. For whatever reason, it's not working out. I think that the Atlanta Hawks do value DeJounte Murray more, but because his salary is less and so forth, and he's very, very he's a good player that does a lot of different things. Whereas Trey Young is probably more just an offensive minded guy, whereas DeJounte Murray does both. But anyway, I think he'd be a good guy. And the last guy,
I like that. I mean, we mentioned Murray a couple times.
Yeah, he's just a good player. He's gonna wherever he goes, he's gonna make that team better, man. So
I agree.
So as far as another trade target, this is the last trade target, and then we'll go into the draft picks. So Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram would be a very good fit for this team, man. And it would probably give Amen Thompson some time to develop a little bit more, although he's a really good defensive guy now. But, you know, they could put him in the starting lineup. You put, like, Fred VanVleet, you know, Alperen Sengun. You have Brandon Ingram, Jalen Green. You know, I mean, it's a pretty explosive team right there, man, right? Yeah, that's what I have as
well. Yeah, I like that because, you know, Brandon Ingram's still very young, but he's got a lot of experience. So you can kind of keep the youth movement going, but yet you get a little more veteran leadership. And I think that you're right. That's a good fit there.
Yep. All right. So as far as draft picks, I mentioned they have a number 3 pick and they have a number 44 pick. So the guy that's been projected to fall to this guy, to this team is a player from Tennessee, Dalton Knecht. You brought him up last
year. Oh, yes.
Right?
Yep.
This guy is kind of compared to a Mike Miller or a Rex Chapman type. He's an explosive kind of do-it-all wing. Has a pretty large, pretty long wingspan. Has a scorer's mindset. Can finish with both hands very well. Actually values possessions, so he doesn't turn the ball over. And shoots the 3 at a pretty high clip, at 40%. You know, and his free throw shooting is great, which is all good. Every year he's shown improvement when he was at Tennessee. And the thing is, though, as we had mentioned in the last podcast when we brought this guy up, he's kind of like this guy who kind of lacks a little bit of athleticism, you know?
Yep.
And that's what a lot of these GMs and scouts look for. They like the athleticism because you have to defend the wings very well in the NBA, and you don't want to be a liability, right? And guys who have less athleticism typically don't do very well on defense. And this guy kind of lacks that a little bit. But, you know, we brought this up that, you know, Nikola Jokic, you know, Luka Doncic, you know, those guys, they're not the greatest defenders in the world either, but they have other skills that outweigh that, right? So, I mean, this guy is just a jack of all trades, big guy. He's 6'7", so I think he'd be a great fit. And I think that's probably who they're going to pick, honestly. So he would take care of that, you know.
What pick number are they?
They're the number 3 pick.
Okay. I'm just thinking about your trade targets, because that's a pretty good piece of candy right there for anyone if they want to pick up.
Yeah.
Ingram or DeJounte Murray or something like that. That's pretty good.
Yep.
That's pretty good trade bait there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so then the last pick is the 44th pick they have in the second round. And I was kind of looking around and kind of seeing, okay, we haven't brought this name up. But this guy, Pell Larson, 6'5" shooting guard out of Arizona. He's a guy that's compared to, and believe it or not, man, when I saw this, I'm like, what? Okay, if they're being compared to this guy, they better jump on this guy. But at the 44th pick. But I think some people are just trying to get clickbaits, right? You know, they're like, guy's being compared. Anyway, they compared him to Christian Brown. That's not the guy I'm going, what? Christian Brown of the Denver Nuggets, right? He's a good little athletic guy out of Kansas, and he's actually he had a bigger role this year, and he's actually a pretty good player. He's a rotational piece, though, right? He's not going to be a starter, although he started a few games here and there. But the other guy that they compared this guy to, believe it or not, Drew Holiday. I'm like, what? What?
I'll take two, please. I'll take two.
Consider probably the best perimeter defender in the NBA. And to go ahead and say this guy's going to be that, I thought that was a stretch, man. But I think it's because he's a bigger guy. He's pretty – he's kind of like a shooting guard with an athletic small forward frame. He can shoot the ball very well, and he plays defense pretty good at a clip. But Drew Holiday is a whole nother level, man, for defense. So I thought that was a stretch. But anyway, this guy was an all-Pac-12 team. Second team. So this guy is, I think, good value at the 44th pick. So and he can shoot, right? So that's what they need. That's the other thing. Like I pointed out, the roster needs shooting and rotational pieces that are veterans. So, all right, let's go to the draft picks, man. These guys, I'm going to go ahead and give you some of the ones that I had in consideration. Okay, in 1992, they had the 11th overall pick, guy out of Alabama, who also was in the same draft class as Latrell Sprewell. Who is this? Oh. Big Shot Bob, man.
Big Shot Bob Horry. Bob Horry.
Okay.
Yes. So, yeah,
he was picked by these guys, 11th overall.
Seven rings that man has. Seven rings, Eddie.
Crazy. And then, okay, in 1993, they had the 24th overall pick, and you brought this guy up as an underrated player because he just killed the Warriors all the time.
Yes. Sam Cassell.
The alien, baby. The Florida State. He's a guard. Yes. Man, so, he's another guy that I put in there, but these are all honorable mentions. You're not the guys that I picked as a top two, right? Yep. The next guy I put is the 41st pick. The 41st pick in 1998 was a guy out of Rhode Island who also played with Lamar Odom. Do you know who this guy is?
Rhode Island. Played with Lamar Odom.
Tino Mobley, bro.
Tino Mobley.
All right.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I forgot about Mobley. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. So, guy, I mean, he's a good value pick. That's why I put him in there, right?
Yep.
First pick, second round, right? So,
that's a good value pick. Okay.
And then the last one, and I'll go ahead and reveal the top ones. And the top ones will be pretty obvious, man. So, 1970, we're going way back, man. 1970, a guy by the name of Calvin Murphy was drafted.
Yes. Who I believe still holds the record for most consecutive free throws.
I think you're right. Oh my God, Steph Curry never broke that. Jeez.
No, I think it's like 91 or 92 or something like
crazy,
that.
Crazy. Yeah. But that guy, I mean, he's a good little player, man. I mean, 18th overall, that's pretty good value there. So anyway, the top two picks in their history.
I know one. I know, obvious, man.
Oh,
yes.
It's your favorite player, right?
Our guy.
No, man. It's a
kid. Yes. The dream. The dream.
In 1984, he was the first overall pick. I mean, that guy is a beast, right? And he's going to be the top two for any organization, right?
Yep.
Even with the Lakers, okay? He'd be
consideration,
right?
He'd be a consideration, yes.
And then the second guy, same position, okay? Highly touted, came from another country. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I know exactly. He's 7'6", 7'5".
Yao Ming.
Yao Ming.
First overall pick in 2002 out of China. Those are the top two draft picks that the Houston Rockets have had in their history. All right. So,
by the way, he had one of the most impressive lower bodies. His tree.
He's a big trunk dude.
Legs. His legs were just.
Yeah. Massive. And he's very skilled, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very skilled.
He was very skilled. Yeah. Yes. He just had a bunch of issues, man, with his legs. And, you know, he's always getting hurt, man. I think it's just the weight. He's just a big dude. I think he might even weigh more than Shaq because he's so freaking big, man. But anyway, so getting to the top two busts in the history of the Houston Rockets. So, the one that was in consideration, there's only three that I have up here. Right? It's not going to be a long list. But the one in 1983, third overall pick, I picked the guy out of Louisville, Rodney McRae. You remember that guy?
Rodney McRae. I remember Rodney McRae, yeah.
I mean, you know, for being third overall, he should have had a better career, right? But, hey, you know, sometimes these guys are in a poor draft class, and they can't help where they're being picked, right? He was still a decent player. He played in the NBA for quite some time, but he just wasn't a third overall pick. But it was just like a Mike Dunleavy, right? Mike Dunleavy is not a third overall pick, right? All right, so the guy that I picked as the number one biggest bust, his first overall pick in 1983, it's a guy that we've talked about in the Bill Walton segment. He's the only other three-time Naismith winner other than Bill Walton. And do you know who that is?
No, I'm drawing a blank.
Ralph Sampson, bro.
Oh, that's right, Ralph, yes.
Ralph Sampson. Yes. Ralph Sampson out of Virginia.
Virginia, right? Virginia Tech?
Out of Virginia. He's a Cavalier.
Yep. So, Cavalier.
The guy was so highly touted, and his career didn't really
matter. That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot, because that was the Twin Towers, him and Olajuwon.
Him and Olajuwon, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I think he won a championship or two, but he just didn't pan out, man. He should have been like a beast. He should have been a beast, and he just wasn't, right?
It should have been David Robinson, Tim Duncan type of.
Yeah, exactly.
He
had length. He was 7'4" or whatever he was. I mean, he could block shots, but as far as offensively, I mean, the guy was, he was so gifted, but for whatever reason, couldn't put it all together, man. That's why I put him as a bust. And the second one is in 2012. He was a 25th overall pick. Now, you know, 25th is not asking for much, but this guy, you know, when he was in college, played very, very well along with Frank Kaminsky out of Wisconsin. Do you know who this player is?
No, I don't.
Sam Decker. Okay. You remember him? Anyway.
I remember him a little.
So he was a forward that just, you know, unfortunately just didn't have the greatest NBA career. But, hey, you can't knock the guy for trying. You know, he did his best, but he just, you know, didn't pan out. So, all right. So the next team
Speaking of not panning out, current news, the James Wiseman looks like he's going to be a free agent, right? He was the second pick, and we'll see what happens with him.
When
you brought up the number three pick,
it's funny. I'll tell you this one thing: since you brought up James Wiseman,
yeah,
when he got drafted, and then the Warriors picked him up, and then he was playing like really well, like in his first few games before he got hurt. I mean, he was showing out, dude. He was playing really well. His confidence was high and all that. And I made a bet with my brother-in-law, Mike, who you met, you know.
I know, Mike.
So I made a bet with him because, you know, he's a big, you know, he's from UCLA.
And I'm aware.
If you don't know, you know, JJ too, he's from UCLA. These UCLA guys, man, they love their freaking players, dude. Love them like they're the best of all time, right? So, of course, he picked LaMelo. I had a bet with him. You love LaMelo Ball, right? So I bet him. I go, James Wiseman is going to be considered better than LaMelo Ball by the end of his career, man. And I bet him like a minimum of $500 bottle of scotch at the end of the career. So that's going to be like another – it could be as early as this year, man. He could end his career and I owe him a freaking $500 bottle of wine.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, LaMelo's been hurt so much, I don't even know if that you can get a judgment out of this. But,
right.
But I guess, LaMelo is better, technically.
He is. But Wiseman's – he's got a huge ceiling, man. But unfortunately, I think, in between, the ears, he needs work, man, so –
that's the hardest thing to fix.
It is the hardest part. Everything that you do is mental, man. If your mentals are not right, nothing's going to be right, man. So that's an unfortunate reality, man. So anyway, so then second team that I have covered, and by the way, we are going way over, man. So but, like, it's normal, right? So
speed round.
Okay, so the Spurs. The Spurs I have, they have four draft picks. Okay, two in the first round and two in the second round. They have the number 4 pick, the number 8 pick, the 35th pick, and the 48th pick. They finished 22-60 and 14th in the conference, so that means they didn't even make the play-in, right? So roster needs. They need a lot of veteran help, man, especially because they have this transcendent player, you know, in Victor Wembanyama, man.
Yes.
Is
he needs a nickname. Does he have a nickname? One that I'm not aware of?
We call him the Wemby. What was that, man?
Wemby? Yeah, that's weird. I don't like that.
Yeah, they got to come up with something else, man. I don't know. The alien. I don't know, man. He's just from another planet, man. That guy is just unbelievable. So anyway, there's just way too much youth on this team, man. There's not enough difference makers. And I think the Spurs have some pressure now to build around this budding superstar, Victor Wembanyama. Victor Wembanyama has the talent to be the face of the NBA. You know, he's that type of a talent, I think. So, but anyway.
I don't disagree with you.
Yep. So, okay. So let's go to the trades, okay? So, we're going for, you know, veteran help, okay? This is why I picked these guys. Okay, so yep. I have guys that I have as meeting this need. We've already mentioned DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan would come back to the Spurs. That's a homecoming. He played for the Spurs, right?
Yep.
And Popovich loves him, right? So bring back DeMar DeRozan would be one guy. Another guy that's going to hurt is Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson, I think, would be a good fit for this team. But the only thing is Klay Thompson, because he wants championships, probably isn't going to go to this team because he's a free agent, right? Yeah. So I don't – but he would be a good fit, and I know that Popovich loves him too. So the other guy is Zach LaVine. Okay, we've mentioned him as well.
From the Chicago mentioned him, Bulls. Yep.
Yep. He's another guy. And, you know, he's not necessarily trying to win championships. You know, he's just trying to get on a good team. And anybody with Victor Wembanyama, I mean, Victor Wembanyama is enough for most people to go, okay, I want to play with that guy, man. That guy's a beast, right? So Zach LaVine would be a guy. Darius Garland is always another guy we're going to bring up over and over again. Donovan Mitchell, D'Angelo Russell.
So you're focusing on perimeter guys. A lot of perimeter guys.
Yeah. I mean, these guys are all these guys can shoot, man, and they can drive to the basket, right? That's what you need. I mean, dude, you have this guy was he was the top three defensive player of the year, man, and you know, and as a rookie, okay. Yeah. So I mean, they have a bunch of ancillary guys that are kind of no names, man. That's why I'm trying to bring some names to these guys to help, you know, get this guy Victor Wembanyama some wins, man, because.
Speaking of homecoming, DeJounte Murray would be another one.
DeJounte Murray would be another one.
Yeah,
he would be another one. Yes, yeah, so that would be another one. I didn't put him in there, but the last guy would be Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma would fit this.
That's an interesting one.
So that's what I'm saying. It's like a mix and match of a lot of these guys. And the last guy, my top one was DeMar DeRozan, but my second guy that I think would be a good fit, although he wouldn't do it, but he'd be a great fit, LeBron James. You know, yeah. LeBron James, bring Bronny James along to San Antonio and get him coached up by Popovich, right? So,
LeBron and Bronny show.
Right. All right. So, as far as who they should get, who's falling to them in the draft. So, there's a few names that we've already brought, you know, we've brought up these guys already in previous episode, in the last episode. So, a guy from Colorado, you brought him up, Cody Williams, 6'8" guy, compares to Lamar Odom, Brandon Ingram, great wingspan, good athleticism. I think he'd just be a good fit. He has a three-point shooting of about 41.5% on 41 attempts. It's a pretty good clip. So, but, you know, they compare this guy with, you know, because of the way he has these long strides, covers a lot of ground, to Giannis Antetokounmpo, as far as just the ability to cover long distances with his strides, right? I think that's where the comparison ends, by the way. So, but anyway, so he's a guy I think that would fall to them at number four. The second first round pick they have is at number 8, and I think there's two guys that I think they're looking at. Okay, for one, we know the Stephon Castle. He's a guy that's going to be targeted by a lot of guys in the top 10.
Yes, right? From UConn. Yep,
he's like a superior wing defender, and you know, and you know, San Antonio loves defensive guys, and this guy fits that mold. And we know that, you know, he fits the mold of the NBA that we mentioned last week, where, you know, this guy can work on his offense later. He already has the defense, right? So we know that. So the other guy that that we have not brought up before that's going to be there is this guy out of Kentucky, Rob Dillingham. He's a freshman. He came off the bench, okay? But this guy compares to a Kemba Walker, Brandon Jennings, and Kyrie Irving because of his nifty dribbling ability, his ability to finish you know, down low with either hand, drive. He can break down defenses, you know, just with his dribbling ability alone. So that's why he's being compared to, you know, a Kyrie Irving. Yep. He's also a 44% three-point shooter.
Wow.
at about four attempts per game. You know, okay. there are some sites that are saying that this guy should be the number one pick. I don't know why he's dropping. It's probably because he's smaller. He's a smaller guy. He's 6'2", right? And he's only 165 pounds. But the guy's got amazing dribbling ability and thought offense. He's got a great offensive capability. So he's a guy that I think that could probably, you know, fall to the Spurs. But I think if they had a choice between Rob Dillingham and Stephon Castle, they'll take Stephon Castle, right? But if Stephon Castle has been drafted, then they'll probably take Rob Dillingham. So,
yeah.
All right. So the number 35 pick. So, you know, I was going to go ahead and pick Alex Caravan here, but, you know, he decided to forego the draft and return back to UConn. So Alex Caravan is going back to UConn and go try and win another championship with Daniel Hurley. So, so the guy that I have instead is this guy from Kevin McCullough from Kansas. He's a 6'7", 210-pound shooting guard. He compares to kind of the Terrence Mann mold, Mann from the Clippers, Bruce Bowen, you know, also from the Spurs. So, you know, if they can get another Bruce Bowen, heck, man, they'll be loving that, right? So,
yeah, but you can't step on the underneath their shooting to sprain ankles anymore.
Yeah.
With that Bruce Bowen's claim to fame.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, along with Zaza Pachulia too, right?
Yes, Nothing easy.
Right. All right, so anyway, good rebound. This guy's a good rebounder. He can force turnovers, and he's a good facilitator. He can turn defense into offense. Defense appears to be what his strength is, and that's what the San Antonio Spurs love, right? So, and then for the last pick, the number 48th pick, I have Harrison Ingram. We've already brought him up. We've talked about him multiple times. We don't have to talk about him again, but he's a great value pick there at number 48. So, all right. So let's go to the draft pick history, and then we're going to move on to your stuff after, right?
Okay.
So we have the two top draft picks in their history. So here are some honorable mentions, man. And we have Alvin Robertson in 1984 as the seventh overall pick at Arkansas. We have Sean Elliott, third overall. We have in 2001 with the 28th overall pick, Tony Parker out of France. All right, that was huge value right there. Huge value, right?
And then there's another huge value guy coming up, I assume.
Okay, so yeah, for sure. So we have Manu Ginobili, 57th overall pick.
That's out crazy. Of
Argentina, 57th overall pick in 1999. Right, that's so we have him. Then we have 2016, the 29th overall pick, DeJounte Murray out of Washington. And then the following year, the 29th overall pick again, Derek White out of Colorado. I mean, they had a really good tandem of guards. Remember, we talked about years ago.
Yep.
These two scare me, man, when the Spurs draft them. And I thought they were this problem. But anyway, but the two guys that I picked as the best draft picks ever in their history, pretty obvious who I'm going to pick, man, right? Yeah, is in 1987, the Admiral David Robinson, first overall pick out of the Naval Academy. We talked about him in the most underrated segment a few episodes ago. And then the other guy we talked about in the same episode as most underrated is in 1997, the first overall pick, Tim Duncan. Right. Tim Duncan. Yep. Now, these guys have had
the big fundamental,
but they've had three number one draft picks. Okay. And they've hit on all of them, man. They hit on all of them. They had David Robinson, Tim Duncan, and now Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah. Right? Well, Victor's it's a little early to decide, but yes. Yeah. For one season, you hit it as best as you could.
Unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
But you can see, like, how rich that history is of all these draft picks. All these guys are freaking good that they draft. Yes.
And they're all bigs.
Yeah.
They're all bigs, yeah.
Yeah, man. So there's a reason why they won five titles in 20-something years, man. They know how to pick these players. And actually, they were one of the first teams that really started drafting in Europe. Right.
Yeah.
So and now we know all these Euros are in the league now, and everybody has Euros in the league, and these guys are difference makers. You can argue right now that the two best players in the NBA are Euros, right? You have Nikola Jokic and Luka Doncic, right? You can argue that they're the two best players in the NBA right now, and they're Euro kings, right?
Anyway. And if you want to throw Giannis in the mix,
right?
Yeah.
All right, man. So that's it for my segment, bro. So who did you want to go for yours, man?
Let's start with the Bulls.
Okay. the Bulls.
Yeah, I wonder who best draft pick of that organization is going to be.
That's an easy one, man. That's an easy one.
All right. So maybe I'll follow your format, Eddie. Let's do that. Okay. Let's start with roster needs. So in terms of the Bulls roster needs, more defense. I mean, they got Caruso. They got a couple of defenders, but they need more defense. They need more shooting. They need a backup center. So they need a couple of things going on here. So in terms of that, I had a couple of trade targets that I think they should consider in terms of picking some people up. So first one is Jalen Smith. So Jalen Smith is, he's had one of the best shooting seasons up to date. His minutes have been decreasing because he's in a crowded kind of field where, you know, there's a lot of he's over in Indiana where there's a lot of other options in terms of, Miles and a couple of other players that are taking up those minutes. So I think that is a player that Indiana would be interested in trading. And he's on an uptick.
That's a sneaky pick, man. That guy's good.
And then the other one in terms of shooting is Kevin Huerter, right, over at Sacramento, right? He's a three-point shooting expert, something that I think the Chicago Bulls need more. So those were the two kind of trade targets that I had for the organization in terms of – and, again, I try to keep it, sort of realistic in terms of who you can pick up. Obviously, if you can pick up a Paul George – or something along those lines. Obviously, you would, Kevin Durant, those types of players. But I kind of kept it on players that I thought were attainable, but at the same time wouldn't break down their current core to a degree where they'd have to kind of restructure the team.
Right.
Moving on to their draft needs or their draft picks, they have the 11th pick. And so a couple people that I have on here is one is Cody Williams out of Colorado. He's a small forward.
Yep,
you had him. So we talked him. I actually have a couple of different picks here. Devin Carter out of Providence, point guard, small guard. He was really kind of interesting because and when you're looking at some of the mock drafts, some people have him really low, some people have him really high. So he's kind of floating back and forth. But he has a very good defensive intensity. He's a tough player. He's a developing kind of crafty pick and roll kind of ball handler type player. The other one was Ron Holland out of the G League Ignite. 6'6", 204 pounds, 18 years old, kind of broke comparisons to Cam Whitmore. Lots of potential there. And then the last one was Tyler Smith, also out of the Ignite, 19 years old.
About him.
We talked about him kind of compared to Shannon Fry. You mentioned that already. So those were some of the players that they only had. Like I said, they only had the 11th pick the Chicago does this year. Some guys that I put in there. All right, moving on to some of the fun stuff. As you can tell, I'm trying to kind of speed through this. So
we're good, man. We're good.
So the top two draft picks. So before we get there, some notables. Derrick Rose was a notable. I mean, he's had an injury plagued career. But those first couple of seasons at Chicago, he was electric. And I mean, you thought that he was going to be the talk of the town. For a long time. And then the other one is Artis Gilmore. For those of you that remember
World Head Center.
So those are the two notables. The top two picks that I have, obviously, one is self-explanatory, or the top pick of all time. He would be the number one pick, any organization, doesn't matter. Michael Jordan.
Trainer.
Michael Jordan, done.
He wasn't even the number one pick.
He wasn't even the number one pick. He was the third pick. 1984, right? The Portland curse, Sam Bowie. That's the curse. And so they actually had that curse happen again with Odom, where they could have had Durant instead of Odom. So, stop taking these bigs, man. You're not the Spurs. Your bigs is not good.
I think Odom, when they drafted him, was already 35, man.
You're probably right, dude.
That's why he couldn't play. He was already old, man.
Yeah, exactly. He had the micro, right? He had the micro cracks in his knees, and he was just, he's old guy. The other one, interestingly enough, is Jimmy Butler. So that was the other player that I picked. Everyone knows Jimmy Butler's in Miami now. He was the 30th pick, the last pick of the first round in 2011. So that's a very good value pick. He's six-time All-Star, four-time All-NBA third team, five-time All-NBA second team defensive team, won most improved player in 2015. He actually is something that I didn't know. He was the NBA steals leader for 2021. I didn't even know that. But real good player out of Marquette.
Marquette, you know, yep.
Yep. So, all right, moving on to the two biggest busts in their history. So one of them I think everyone will know, or most people will know, is Eddie Curry out of Thornwood High School, 2001, fourth pick. If memory serves me well, and I couldn't find this information, I think Michael Jordan did quite a job on this guy's psyche when they were playing for him, right? So if I remember.
He did a lot of jobs on people's psyche, man.
Yeah. Luke Longley, people can take it.
You saw that article, Luke Longley? There was a discussion with Luke Longley, like how hard of an ass that Michael Jordan was to his players. So, yeah.
Well, and as we said, in terms of the mentals, you either grow from it or let it crush you. I mean, and maybe Jordan's thing is if it crushes you, you shouldn't be on my team anyway.
Yeah, you might be right.
So he's the biggest bust, I think, in the franchise of the Bulls. He averaged 6.7 points, 3.8 rebounds as a rookie. He finished his career with just averages around 11.8 and 4.9, and he was the fourth overall pick of that. Players coulda, woulda, shouldas in that particular draft. Shane Battier was in that draft. Joe Johnson was in that draft. Zach Randolph was in that draft. And this would have been a reach, but Tony Parker was in that draft, which was a late first-round pick. And then Gilbert Arenas was in that draft, picked up by the Warriors, second round. So those were players that they could have picked up. And then the other bust was Marcus Fizer in 2000.
He was
the fourth pick. He played 232 games with the Bulls, averaged 10.5 points, 5 rebounds. He only lasted in the league for about 6 years. He played for the Milwaukee Bucks, the New Orleans, Oklahoma City Hornets after his Bulls days ended. Players that you could have had in that particular draft. This was also a little bit of a light draft. Was Jamal Crawford, Hedo Turkoglu, Michael Redd. It's not really a big miss,
A lot of rotational pieces, man.
Yeah, a lot of rotational pieces. No one that really stood out in particular in that particular draft.
Yep.
All right. Moving on. That's it for the
Bulls, right?
Chicago Bulls. Moving on to the Raptors. All right. So, in terms of the Raptors' needs, they need depth. They need a backup point. They need, like I've said multiple times, and probably will continue to say multiple times, they need wing defenders. So a couple of trade targets that I thought might meet their needs, depending on what Minnesota does with Karl Anthony Towns, I think a player that they should look at is Naz Reid. So I think Naz Reid would be a very good player. I don't know, obviously if they pay Karl Anthony Towns, Naz Reid could be subject to be let go for salary purposes, things of that nature. So I think that's a player. I mean, obviously Naz Reid would fit in a lot of teams, but I think that would address some of their depth. A little bit of – he's not an excellent wing defender, but he's a very good big man.
For sure.
Yeah. So, and then the other one, which I've already mentioned before, as a wing defender kind of depth, and I mentioned him before, and I'm actually quite surprised that I mentioned him twice, is Moses Moody. Because I think the reason I bring him up, and, people are going to be like, oh, you're Homer, Warriors. I feel – so I'm going to have my Moses Moody here moment. I think the Warriors have severely underplayed that guy.
Yeah, I agree.
I think
there's a lot of people that have that same opinion, man.
If you hear people
calling in on the shows here in the Bay Area, there's a lot of people saying, why isn't Kerr playing that guy more?
Yeah. I don't think he's a star, but I think he is a solid, solid piece.
Yes.
I think he's like, like best case scenario for him, he's like the last man on a championship starting team. I mean, that's best case. I think that might be too much. But normal scenario, I think he's the seventh, eighth guy off the bench.
On a
really, really good team.
So
in terms of you need a wing defender, you need a guy who isn't going to cause any ruffles. He knows his role, is going to do what he's got to do. And, he's got a decent three-point shot when he gets hot. He's got a little bit of Vinnie Johnson in him, a little microwave going. When he gets warm, he goes really well. So those were the two pieces that I kind of thought that were, pieces that the Raptors could look at in terms of trade targets.
Okay.
All right. Moving back up here, in terms of their picks. So the Raptors have two picks. They have the 19th pick in the first round, and they have the 31st pick, which is the first pick of the second round. So a couple of players that I have here is, for the 19th pick, I have Jacoby Walter out of Baylor. He is a shooting guard, small forward combo, 6'5", 195 pounds. He's a freshman, 19 years old. People have been comparing him to KCP, Caldavius Caldwell-Pope. Contavious Caldwell-Pope.
Yep.
And he's good at catch and shooting, physical, you know, line drive, kind of straight to the hoop kind of type of guy. So I think that'd be a pretty decent pickup. The other one is, and I'm going to probably butcher his name here, is Eves Missy out of Baylor, center. 7-footer, 235 pounds, also a freshman from Cameroon. There, he has a pro comparison of Mark Williams. He has physical tools. He has athleticism. You know, that these things are translatable to the NBA, but a little bit of a project. But, you know, that's out of the lottery. So, you know, kind of a player that they could look at. Moving down here to the 31st pick, which is the first pick of the second round. Bobby Clintman from Cairns Taipans, small forward, power forward, 6'8", 215 pounds, 21 years old, Swedish. Pro comparison to DeAndre Hunter. Go ahead.
No, that's it.
Uh-huh. Oh, you're good. You know, and his he's very versatile. That's kind of his thing. And then Kyle Filipowski out of Duke.
Yep.
Power forward center, 7-footer, sophomore, 20 years old. You know, compared to Moritz Wagner, the other Wagner brother, I believe.
Yes.
So those are a couple of guys that they could look at from the first pick of the second round. All right, moving on to the top draft picks in their history. So, a couple of guys that I had here, and this may be a little bit of controversy, because I kind of, again, I said I put a lot of weight into championships, and so the first one I think is a no-brainer, which is DeMar DeRozan. We already talked about. So,
yep.
DeMar DeRozan, I think, to me, is a no-brainer. He was the ninth pick in the 2009 draft. You know, he's a six-time NBA All-Star, two-time All-NBA. Yep, out of USC, correct.
Yep.
You know, so he's been a very good player. I know he's moved around a little bit in the last couple of years over to San Antonio, then now in Chicago, but very good player. Kind of broke my heart when they traded him, and then they ended up winning the finals without him. I thought that was a little bit of, you know, bittersweet.
Yeah.
So before I do that, I already jumped to DeMar DeRozan, but a couple of notables here were Chris Bosh and Tracy McGrady.
Yep.
Two highly athletic, well-known players, in particular Tracy McGrady. I mean, I think everyone knows him.
You're overrated guys.
He is one of my overrated guys. And the reason being, and so the other guy that I took, because he won a championship, was Pascal Siakam. So yep. That was the other.
That was a great pick, actually. Pascal Siakam is a great sneaky pick, man.
He's good, and he's a value pick. I mean, he's the 27th pick in the 2016 draft.
Yeah, that's great value.
Yeah, I mean, people are going to go, are you crazy? But to me, they won a championship. He's a solid player. You know, two-time All-Star.
Yep.
You know, McGrady has probably more All-Star numbers, but most improved player in 2019. So I think that's where I put him. You know, I'm interested in the comments if Raptor fans are out there going, "Oh, you're crazy." I felt like some would think, you know, we're going to lean towards Tracy McGrady or even Chris Bosh. Although Chris Bosh, you know, with his condition, his career was cut short. So I think that he never kind of reached the total that he could have, even though he's got a finals. He's got an NBA championship with Miami when LeBron went over there. But those are my two picks in terms of top draft picks.
Okay.
All right. Two busts in their history. Boy, this was quite scary, to be honest with you.
Oh, really?
I don't remember either guy.
Oh, really?
Either guy. I don't remember, Eddie, at all. So the first one is Rafael Araujo from Arizona Western in 2004. He was the eighth pick.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Exactly.
Never heard of this guy. Wow.
He played 139 games total, averaged 2.8 points, right? 2.8 rebounds, not even an assist, like 0.3 assists, 0.4 steals, 0.1 blocks.
Jeez.
I mean, just horrible. In that draft, I mean, again, good players. They could have had Andre Iguodala was in that draft. Al Jefferson, you know, the big man, was in that draft.
Yep.
Trevor Ariza, you know, who jumped around between Houston and the Lakers and was in a couple of different places, could have had him in that draft. But that pick was like, you know, he played 3 years, barely. Not a good pick. I mean, he's bust in the truest sense of the word bust. Just nothing.
Wow.
The other one is Alexander Rodojevic.
No idea.
Yeah, he's the 1999 12th pick. Wow. All right. This is even worse, Eddie. He played 15 games.
That's it.
Yep. Yes. 1.7 points.
I guarantee you that the whole scouting staff was fired, man.
They had to have been. This is for horrible. Sure. I mean, you'd have got more production out of me.
Exactly. Me too, man.
Yeah, I was just like, wow. So, and in that draft, they could have had Corey Maggette, Ron Artest.
Oh.
AK-47, for those that don't remember, Andre Karolinko. Yep. And again, this one's a stretch because no one knew. Manu Ginobili was in that draft as well. I mean, obviously. Yeah. You know, it's hard to blame anyone for not taking Manu because
at 57, he's a 57.
Yeah, at 57 is pretty far down there. You know, everyone missed on that guy. You know, even San Antonio missed because I'm sure they had a draft pick earlier in that draft where they could have took him and they didn't. You know, kind of like the same thing with Draymond Green. You know, you could have had Draymond Green earlier. You know, but you didn't. So those are my two top busts in history for the Toronto Raptors.
All right.
And speaking of Raptors, that's a wrap for me in terms of mine. So,
all right, man. So we got two more teams to cover, audience. All right. So we're going to race through these, man. So let's go ahead. I have the Atlanta Hawks. So the Atlanta Hawks, they finished 36-46, finished 10th. They were in the play-in. They lost to the Chicago Bulls. They only have one pick in the draft, and it's the first overall pick. All right. Mm-hmm. So as far as roster needs, they needed to pick between Trae Young and DeJounte Murray because together, for whatever reason, it's not working. So they're going to have to probably ship one of those guys out, trade, and get somebody else of need. But they have two good up-and-coming players in Jalen Johnson and DeAndre Hunter, but both play similar positions, so there's kind of duplication of efforts there. They also have a good young center in Okongwu. Okay, so I think they need to deal Clint Capella to give this kid more playing time, in my opinion. And Clint Capella he's still a good player. I just think that he needs to go to a different team and maybe help a team win while these guys are still kind of rebuilding. But what they really need, looking at the roster, is just they have a bunch of no-name rotational pieces, man. They just need more veteran depth. That's it, man. Because they have some decent talent, right? So, you know, they have, like I said earlier, I think they have Jalen Johnson and DeAndre Hunter. Those two guys they can probably try and build around, right? Yeah. So as far as trade targets, these are the ones that I'm considering, okay? We've already mentioned Alec Burks. Okay, Alec Burks is a good rotational piece. He'd help him out, instant offense. We have Malik Monk of the Sacramento Kings. Malik Monk would be a good off-the-bench scorer for this team as well. We also talked about DeMar DeRozan many times.
Yes.
But DeMar DeRozan would be a really good fit here. Can you imagine, you know, especially if they you put him with DeJounte Murray, DeMar DeRozan, Jalen Johnson. And, you know, there's a trade that I actually was thinking about as I was kind of mulling this over. If they have to get rid of someone, you know, like, you know, between Trae Young and DeJounte Murray, I think they want to keep DeJounte Murray. But here's a trade offer that I was – or a trade option I was considering. Trade Trae Young and Clint Capella to the Pelicans for Brandon Ingram and Jonas Valanciunas, right? So then what you would have is DeJounte Murray, DeMar DeRozan, Brandon Ingram, Jalen Johnson, and Jonas Valanciunas.
That's a pretty good squad.
It's a pretty good squad, man, right? And then you get like a Malik Monk and Alec Burks, and then you also have this other rotational piece who plays in Philadelphia, who played for the Memphis Grizzlies, and I think this guy's a really good player, man, De'Anthony Melton. I think he'd be another good rotational piece to consider for the Hawks. So I think, you know, they're definitely in this rebuild mode. They're not, you know, they were in the 10th seed last year, and they have better talent, I think, because of, you know, more than their record shows. But I think they just it's the mix of players that they have. They need to get, you know, they need just better overall rotational pieces to be a better competing team. So, all right, as far as the draft, they have the number one pick. So it's really between these two guys, right? You have Alex Sarr out of France, right?
Yeah.
And then you have Zachary Risacher of France as well. Man, France must be pumping out some players, man. They got Wembanyama and then these two guys. I mean, geez, right? I mean, from France, you have back-to-back years of one number one picks. So, but anyway, this Alex Starr guy is kind of a versatile center. He's 7'1". He has decent ball handling skills, can score around the rim, defend great. He's just very athletic. Has shown to be a very good pick-and-roll defender, and he has a 7'5 wingspan, dude. That's huge. 7'5", man. So given that, we talked about the scenario that maybe a trade, Capella is probably something they're going to trade. So, give the Young Bucks like Okongwu and this guy to develop. I already talked about Jonas as Valanciunas as a potential trade, right? But this guy, Alex Starr, seems to be a guy that they're pretty high on. But this other guy, Zachary Risocher, he's also a potential good 3-and-D guy. He's a 6'9" guy, forward, has great athleticism. Can play multiple positions. He has the athleticism and size to be able to do that. He's not considered like a great athlete, but he's considered a good enough athlete, right? But he's great in the open floor, great in transition buckets. And he's also a decent 3-point shooter. So this guy seems to have a lot of the elements to make for a really good player. That could do a lot of different things. More of a 3-and-D guy, whereas the other guy, Alex Starr, kind of is probably in the mold of like a Wembanyama a little bit more.
Yeah, so you want to be careful if you have double up on that.
Right. Yeah, so anyway, so that's it's going to be one of those two guys that they're going to pick. So, and then as far as their draft history, man, so as far as the top two draft picks in their history, so in 1982, this guy was traded he was actually drafted by the Utah Jazz, but they traded for him, the Atlanta Hawks.
Yep.
And that person is Mr. Atlanta Hawk. We all know who this is, right?
Yes, it's Dominique.
It's Dominique Wilkins. He's a human highlight film. If you guys out there, Young Bucks, are listening to this and don't know who this guy is, trust me, go look at some of his highlights. This guy's ridiculous.
Till this day, that famous dunk contest between him and Jordan, I still think Dominique won.
I think so too. Yeah. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. All right. So that's the first one. The second best pick, in my opinion, is in 2007, Al Horford, who's still playing, right? He's been playing in the NBA 17 years, man. Yeah, he was the third overall pick out of Florida. So that's, I think, the top two. And then honorable mention, I have a couple other guys. So Trae Young, 2018, third overall pick. But they could have had Luka Doncic, man. Right? They traded him.
Yeah.
To get Trae Young. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, okay, that was a good pick. Yeah. But they could have Luka, right? And then
it should have been Trae Young.
Yeah, Trae Young, right.
Trae Young, yeah.
So, but the last guy, as far as honorable mention, is Hall of Famer Skywalker David Thompson out of NC State. The first overall pick. But check this out, man. The Atlanta Hawks have been kind of like a floundering organization. They were for years a floundering organization. And the reason why they didn't sign David Thompson is because they didn't have enough cash to sign him, man. So that's when he went to the ABA. And then he was later signed by the Denver Nuggets, and then the rest is history. He became a Seattle Supersonic, and he was a Hall of Famer, right? So, all right. So then as far as two top busts in their history. So I'm going to give you some notables first. In 1985, do you remember a guy named John Konkak?
Yeah, I remember John Konkak. Yes.
Okay. Out of St. Mary's. Right around the corner from us here. Fifth overall pick. He's just a journeyman center who just didn't live up to being the
six fouls. That's what he is. John Six Fouls Konkak.
Exactly. Okay. In 1991, this is the other honorable mention, the Plastic Man. The Plastic Man is?
Stacey Augmann.
Stacey Augmann of the University
of UNLV. Playing with Tart.
He was the ninth overall pick. So, but he just didn't live up to the hype. Right. So he was good, but he just wasn't great. Right. And then in 2006, a guy out of Duke, a fifth overall pick, Sheldon Williams.
I remember Sheldon Williams.
Yeah. He's another guy just didn't really cut it. But these guys, in my opinion, were just honorable mention. But the two worst draft picks in their history in 2004, and this isn't back to back years, man. In 2004, out of Stanford with the sixth overall pick. They had Josh Childress. That's who they picked. Josh Childress. Remember that guy?
I remember him, yes.
So
had the big fro.
Yes.
I remember him, yeah.
So the guys, I mean, you know, a lot of these drafts, they just didn't have much talent, but the guys that they could have had were Andre Iguodala, right? And then, you know, he's a future Hall of Famer. And then you had Al Jefferson. You already mentioned him as well. And then Chris Humphreys, who was the second to be bitten by the Kardashians.
The Kardashian, yeah. He's a Kardashian fan.
Yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame of the Kardashians, man.
Hopefully, so anyway. Hopefully he's getting alimony.
No. Okay, and the second guy is Marvin Williams. Marvin Williams out of North Carolina. He was the
I remember Marvin pick. Williams.
But you know who they could have had? They could have had Darren Williams. They could have had Chris Paul. They could have had Andrew Bynum. They could have had David Lee. But they chose Marvin Williams, man.
Yeah.
Like,
hey.
All right, right? So
it is.
I know, man. So, but anyway, so that's
you know, it. Eddie, after you've gone through that, Atlanta's had a pretty sad draft.
Dude, it was pretty. Yeah, it was a struggle to come up with these names, man. Honestly, it was.
Yeah, Dominique is probably the only shining light, and even he didn't take him to the promised land, you know?
The
like
only one, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, all right, this is the last one, man. We all definitely right. went way over time on this, but anyway, it's just the way we do it. So the Hornets have two draft picks, one in the first round and one in the second round. They have the sixth pick as well as the 42nd pick. They were 21-61 this year, and they were 13th in the conference, so that means they didn't even make the play-in tournament. They are a newer franchise, so they started in 1988. And, you know, Dell Curry, the father of Steph Curry, played for the Hornets. And as a matter of fact, the Hornets is Steph Curry's team. That's who he grew up liking because of course his dad played for him, right?
But and, that Hornets team was now the New Orleans Pelicans.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right. But still, it's still the franchise, right?
No, understood. No, I got you. Yeah. I'm just pointing that out for those that may not know that.
But, you know, there's always been a lot of speculation that, you know, that's where, you know, Curry may consider ending his career. But I don't think he's going to go anywhere, man. Joe Lacob isn't going to let that guy go anywhere, man.
I wouldn't.
No way, man. No way. Yeah. I mean, the valuation of the Warriors would just go to crap once he leaves. Once he retires, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, man. But anyway, so – all right, so roster needs. This team has some decent talent. They're just not very deep. So they have LaMelo Ball, who's always hurt. They have Brandon Miller out of Alabama, who's actually a pretty good player. He's actually on the all-rookie team this year. They have Miles Bridges, but he's probably going to be a free agent next year, and he's probably going to be gone. You already mentioned Mark Williams. Mark Williams is a pretty good bit, and also Nick Richards. They have two bigs that are very similar. They also have Grant Williams. That, remember the former Boston Celtic, the one that Draymond Green was saying that he's a big baby, big problem, trying to be the big tough guy. Anyway, he's a good defensive player. So they have decent pieces, right? But they just need more veteran depth. There's a lot of these teams that just need more veteran depth, right? But they also need a better point guard, a better backup point guard, because right now their backup point guards are this guy named Misic. His last name is Misic, and then Trey Mann. Okay, it's like, you need more, right? So, and you also see they're very offensive oriented, so you need to have more defensive oriented guys. So, I think that's that was kind of my mindset in picking these trade targets, right? So, first guy to meet that backup point guard is Tyus Jones of the Washington Wizards. He'd be a great backup point guard for this team, especially because LaMelo Ball's injury history. They need a decent back.
All the balls get hurt all the time.
I think it's their shoes, man. Their shoes are just – I don't know what it is, man. It might be their shoes that they wear, the big baller brand thing, right? Who knows, man? But,
is it their shoes?
Oh, I don't know, man. It could
I'm doing my my very sad Mars Blackman imitation. If you remember, yo, money, is it the shoes?
Yeah. Is it the shoes?
Anyway.
All right, so then we got another guy that I think would be fit in this mold as far as the defensive-minded. Okay, I already talked about the backup point guard. Now some more of the defensive-minded guys. So Klay Thompson, all right? But the thing is, Klay Thompson wouldn't go to this team because Klay Thompson wants to win. So he probably wouldn't sign with them, but he'd be a good fit for them to meet this need. These guys are about 5 years away, honestly, man. They're nowhere close to being anywhere in contention, right? Lu Dort from the Oklahoma City Thunder. He would be a good fit for these guys because he's a defensive-minded shooting guard. But, you know, Oklahoma City's pretty deep. You know, they can probably move some pieces if they need to, right, because they have uber amount of draft picks coming in the years to come. So, you know, why not, right? Consider or look at that. And the other thing that I would look at is maybe, like, you know, kind of a trade, you know, either pick Nick Richards or Mark Williams because they're duplicates, right? And then you kind of trade them along with, like, a Grant Williams. And, you know, you kind of put that together to try and get maybe someone like a Mikhail Bridges. And Mikhail Bridges from you know, the Brooklyn Nets. So yep. That's kind of a trade thought, right, that I thought. All right, so as far as guys that are following them in the draft, so they have the number 6 pick and the number 42 pick. Number 6 pick, dude, we've been mentioning this guy all day and all night, as well as last week, is Stephon Castle, right? He's going to fall somewhere in from the 6th to the 8th pick, right?
Yep.
And it's just going to be determined who's going to pick him first, right? So Stephon Castle is one. Another one that I think you may have mentioned this guy in a previous one, but Matis Buzelis of 6'10". He's a G League guy, small forward, 95-pound guy. Compares to Franz Wagner, okay? Yep. Franz Wagner is a damn good player, man. This guy's got a 6'10 wingspan, skilled ball handler. He can break defenses down and drive to the bucket. He's got good vision, passes well for his size, impressive athleticism. This guy looks like a pretty decent player, man. The only thing, he's 195 pounds, man. That's the only thing, right? He needs to put on some weight.
I wish I was 195 pounds.
Oh man, dude! I don't think I've been 195 pounds since I think it was seventh grade.
I believe you.
I think I was, man. Anyway,
you were a man child, so that's a whole different conversation.
Right. I'm sure John is the same way, man. He's a big boy too. I'm sure he's big. You know, 195. He probably wasn't there since like the seventh or eighth grade himself, dude.
He's like, why you drag me into this? I'm not even on the show.
Because he's Big John, man. Anyway,
Big John, right. That's true.
So, all right, so then the number 42 pick. You brought this guy up last week, Tristan Newton of the UConn Huskies, right? This guy's a 6'4 point guard, very good defender, very good rebounder. He's just kind of like a jack of all trades, master of none, but he'd be a great backup to LaMelo Ball, right? If they can't land like a Tyus Jones or something like that, this guy would be someone that they consider picking. And the last guy, as far as shooting-wise, I mentioned him last week on another team, is Cam Spencer, again, of the UConn Huskies. Guy's a great shooter compared to Mike Strus, Corey Kispert. He's considered one of the best shooters in this draft. So I think he'd be another fit. If they can't land Tristan Newton, then Cam Spencer would be the backup. All right, last parts, man. So we got the top two draft picks in their history. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and give you some of the notables. So first one, check this out, man. You already mentioned this. Kobe Bryant was drafted by these guys.
Correct.
But then they traded him to the Lakers.
Correct. So they don't get credit.
They picked the right guy, but probably the Lakers told him to pick that guy. So anyway, he was a 13th overall pick. Can you believe Kobe Bryant, 13th overall pick?
That's crazy.
Todd freaking Fuller was picked before Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, anyway. you don't got to tell me.
Sorry, bro. I know. All right, Kemba Walker is another one in 2011. He was a 9th overall pick out of UConn. He's a decent player. He's a really good college player. The other guy, in 2018, he got drafted by them but got traded to the Clippers, okay, for Paul George and Danilo Gallinari.
Wow.
And this is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander out of Kentucky.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
They drafted him, and then they traded him to the Clippers. So – yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway. All right. So the next one is that I have is LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball came out of Europe. He was a 3rd overall pick. And then Brandon Miller. Brandon Miller, who's just playing, he got drafted last year. He's playing on the team right now. He's a pretty good player. But those are notables. The top two, 1992, Alonzo Mourning.
Yes.
Georgetown.
Alonzo Mourning.
2nd overall pick.
All right. Georgetown.
Then in 1999, the guy who dunked over AK-47 in the playoffs.
Oh, no. B. Davis. Aaron
Davis at UCLA, the 3rd overall pick. Those are their top two picks in their history. All right?
Yeah.
Top two busts. Honorable mention. 1989, J.R. Reed out of North Carolina, the 5th overall pick.
I remember J.R. Reed.
Yep. He was like considered like the best high school player. Highly regarded as the best high school player.
Yeah,
didn't pan out in the pros. Another guy is Emeka Okafor. Remember that guy
at UConn? Out of UConn. Yes,
2nd overall pick.
Yeah,
the next guy, he was in 2004. In 2012, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, out of Kentucky, 2nd overall pick. Right, kind of like something you don't want to remember, right?
Yeah.
His career wasn't that memorable, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. He just had that weird shot. Remember that kind of like the weird, I don't know, it was kind of weird looking, broken don't know, man. He's all jacked. But anyway, and then the 2014 Noah Vonleh out of Indiana. He was a 9th overall pick, right? This guy was a journeyman all of his career. Really didn't amount to anything, unfortunately.
What was he picked? 9th?
9th. He was the 9th pick, Noah Vonleh out of Indiana.
Yeah.
Okay, but these are the two worst, all right?
All right.
In 2006, Adam Morrison.
Yes.
Zaga, the 3rd.
Yes, with the hair. Yes, I remember him.
Yes, okay. And then the next one is Cody Zeller.
Cody Zeller of
Indiana. And he was in 2013, 4th overall pick. And that guy just never really amounted to anything, man. So, but that's it, man. I mean, we covered, you know, all the teams, all the eight teams. I know we kind of went way over time here, man. But, you know, as I suspected, you know, we're going to spend a lot of time on these drafts. We definitely put a lot of time and effort to give you a good show and a lot of good content. But, you know, we covered the NBA finals. We're going to continue to cover this until the finals are over. Next week, we're going to go ahead and continue this draft preview. We're going to continue with another eight teams. And then the following week, we'll finish it off with the final six. But then we'll go ahead and try and cut this down, because I know we're kind of going a little bit over time. We don't want to lose your guys' attention, but we appreciate you guys listening to the show. So anyway, so the final words here, you can find Buzzer Beaters at GremlinsMedia.com, Rumble, YouTube, under the profile Gremlins Media, as well as your traditional podcast outlets such as Spotify, Google, Apple, and Pandora. You can also find us on Facebook and X, formerly known as Twitter. Twan, dude, it was great. This show, another great show, man. We have, I don't know if you saw this, audience, but we changed some of the backgrounds for you, right? Yeah. Kind of make this look a little bit more interesting, right? And I just want to go ahead and, you know, have you see like the teams that we're picking and talking about, so you don't remember who, you don't forget who we're talking about. So yep. I put that in there. We're going to continue doing that next week as well, and the following week. So, but anyway, I really appreciate your time, audience. Thanks for listening in. And this is Buzzer Beaters signing